In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. We're continuing our journey in the book of Exodus, looking at the laws of Israel. We're in verses 18 through 27 of chapter 21. Now, this part is going to focus on personal injury, and we're going to be given five cases about controlling yourself. Verse 18 and 19, let's start there, of chapter 21. If men contend with each other, and one strikes the other with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die but is confined to his bed, if he arises again and walks about outside with a staff, then he who struck him shall be acquitted. He shall only pay for the loss of time and shall provide for him to be thoroughly healed. Now, there's some key words here we need to understand. What does the word contend mean? It means to quarrel and argue, but it leads to violence. So this is not just a heated argument. It's an argument that turns physical. Now, the word acquitted means blameless from the death penalty, but they're not free from consequences. Notice motive is not taken into consideration here. In fact, all the laws we've read so far do not take motive at all into consideration. You look at what the actions were. And the consequences, well, it's the loss of time and doctor bills. Today, this is called workman's compensation. If you're in the workplace and you get hurt, and it's clearly a violation of the workplace, somehow they didn't protect you properly, you're going to be compensated. If you're injured at work, it's an accident, you're going to be compensated. So I'm amazed how even back then, in 1500 BC, they understood this simple principle that if you hurt someone, you need to take care of that person. The question, what is the principle behind this law? And the answer is this: don't settle your matters with violence. Keep the matter from escalating. And this is another principle, another mercy of God's laws. He's trying to bring solutions to what seems to be a very difficult situation. Now let's continue on verse 20. And if a man beats his male or female servant with a rod so that he dies under his hand, he shall surely be punished. Now the idea of punished means avenged. And this means this is the death penalty. So again, here's another example of how Israel was supposed to be different than the Gentiles. Now, verse 21 adds some more details. Notwithstanding, if he remains alive a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his property. Now, this presumes that after an act of violence like this, the slave will recover. The owner will suffer a loss during the injured slave's recovery period as he loses the labor and will have to care for a slave. So the penalty is the same as injuring another who did not die, time and medical. So you have to be very careful how you understand this passage, because it can come across almost as if, well, the servant is inferior and therefore there's not the same kind of care and consequences. Not so. As you can see here, there is equal consequences. Now, verse 22, if men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. Now, notice what's going on here. This isn't a person who can take justice into their own hands. Even though the husband has a desire for a particular consequence, it still has to run through the court. Now, this is a great example of collateral damage, unintended consequences. The unintentional damage is damage nevertheless, and we must not lose sight of that. Justice must be imposed. Note that the judges are involved, as I said earlier, in determining the penalty. However, the husband's demand for justice are taken under serious consideration. Note, women with child represents the weakest in society, and that's another reason why this passage is here. It's to make us understand that the weakest ones in the society deserve equal protection before the law. Now, there's another concept here. It's called lex talionis. It's called the law of retaliation, and it's connected to verse 22 of chapter 21. Let me read several of these passages. Leviticus 24:17, whoever kills any man shall surely be put to death. Whoever kills an animal shall make a good animal for animal. If a man causes disfigurement of his neighbor, as he has done, so shall it be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused disfigurement of a man, so shall it be done to him. That's a pretty intense law of justice right there. And whoever kills an animal shall restore it. But whoever kills a man shall be put to death. You shall have the same law for the stranger and for one from your own country, for I am the Lord your God. Now, I'm glad that we don't practice this kind of retribution in the justice system today, but you can see that this would serve as a great deterrent against those who would commit a crime. Deuteronomy 19:18, and the judges shall make careful inquiry, and indeed, if the witness is a false witness who has testified falsely against his brother, then you shall do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and those who remain shall hear and fear. And hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. One more, Deuteronomy 19:21. Your eye shall not pity. Life shall be life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and hand for hand, foot for foot. That's the lex talionis. In other words, it's the law of retaliation, but notice it's the punishment should fit the crime. That's what's going on here. And this goes all the way back as an example to Pharaoh's son for God's son. Pharaoh refused to let Israel go. Exodus 4:23. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn. And because Pharaoh disobeyed God, he suffered those consequences. Now contrast this with Genesis 4:23 and Lamech, who said to his wives, Ada, Zillah, hear my voice, wives of Lamech. Listen to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. I mean, this is a complete misunderstanding of the scriptures and shows you how wicked Lamech was. He was just wounded a little bit. Instead, he comes back and retaliates with murder. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son named Seth, for God had appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. So this is a pretty significant passage and shows you how important it is that the punishment fits the crime. Also, as we said earlier with this woman being hurt, this implies that there is a person in the womb. Technically, abortion falls under murder since it's not accidental and it's purposeful, intentional by the parties involved, minimally the mother and potentially the father of the child. Now, here's a question for you. Is this literal or principle? And the answer is both. It certainly makes the argument for equivalent consequences. So, yeah, if you disfigure a person under Old Testament law, you're to be disfigured. As barbaric as that sounds, it's still nevertheless the law of the land. The essence of wisdom is to know, perceive, and receive so that the result is justice, righteousness, and equity. Proverbs 1:1-7 speak to this issue. Another question, is Jesus contradicting the Old Testament in Matthew 5:38-48, which reads, you have heard that it was said an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him take away your tunic. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. So you see this bridge. Christ is giving all these examples where at that time, society pretty much was hardened towards one another. And so Jesus comes along and reveals to them the true nature of the law. It goes on in verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and unjust. For if you greet your brethren, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, I share all these passages to reveal the heart of God, but also what are we getting at? That there's not any contradiction in the scriptures. Rather, God is providing wisdom to properly judge these cases so that judgment truly will be righteous, fair, and equitable. Now, Jesus is affirming the original intent behind the command. No personal vengeance. That's the idea here. When one suffers wrong unjustly, personal retaliation is not the Christ-like response. And this is what gets tricky when we study scriptures. Because truthfully, it was speaking about the one who'd been wronged. They're not to take it up in their own hands and deal with the issue. They're to involve the courts. Rather, we appeal to the God and government to bring the just penalty. And I believe that's how things are to work. We as individuals must do the best we can in the court systems that we have. But if someone does get away with it, they cheat the system and game it, well, then there's time to address that. And we have other passages to speak of that. Now, 1 Peter 2:18, I think, is appropriate here. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it when you are beaten for your faults? You take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, then this is commendable before God. Now, I got to pause here. This is the calling for the New Testament believer. The reality is, as they're saying in the text, Peter's preaching to us, hey, if you come along and you are unjustly treated, appeal to God. Endure it with patience. Don't retaliate, because that's how you demonstrate the reality of who Christ is in your life. And that's exactly who Jesus Christ is and did. Think about how he was reviled and uttered no threats and went silent before the shears all the way to the cross. Brothers and sisters, we are called to a higher standard. Are you living to that standard by God's grace? In fact, verse 21 of 1 Peter 2 reads, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but commit himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." The answer to all this injustice is the cross. We must review all these difficult situations through the lens of Christ's cross. It gives us an eternal perspective. We must recognize they are sinners and they need to be saved, and we should pray accordingly. So I challenge you, in the day and age that we live, don't retaliate. Be patient. Bear up under the injustice. Proclaim the gospel and entrust yourself to the living God. Well, until we meet again, may you grow and be challenged and apply these truths.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.